So, would you agree to have your Arabic service sheet open? I'll just read these few verses from which I'm going to hang the Christmas message this morning. This is Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. He says this, "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the Amen is spoken to us, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." So it's obvious as soon as you read those words that the Apostle Paul, when he brought the gospel, he brought a certain message. It was absolutely emphatic. It was a resounding yes for Jesus Christ. There's no equivocation, no ifing, no butting. It was absolutely yes regarding Jesus Christ. The God of heaven has made promises. Every one of them is tied up with this person of Jesus Christ. And all those promises will come true. They will be yes in Christ. And it is wonderful, surely, when we consider the thought of God, that things should be so certain, so absolute, and in an uncertain world, such as we live in, to think that God has so certainly, most certainly, said yes, is an immense comfort. And I want to bring something of this to your thoughts this morning. How many of you have heard a politician being interviewed and being begged by the interviewer just to give a straight answer? Just say yes or no, and the politician is put on the spot again and again. The interviewer says to him, just say yes or no. It's like getting blood out of a stone. It's unbelievable to get a politician just to say yes or no, so difficult. No surprise that we should hear the Lord Jesus Christ in his own teaching say, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. No sitting on the fence. And in fact, the true nature of the Christian gospel is like this. There is no sitting on the fence. It's either yes in your heart this morning for Jesus Christ, and just to make it more emphatic, Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. So this morning, I want to bring this decisive message of yes in Christ, and I'm begging you for just 15 minutes of your time just to listen to this message, to this sermon. And I want to begin by telling you something of what happened to me this week. Some friends very kindly invited me out to enjoy an evening at Handel's Messiah in Huddersfield. I've always promised myself that I would go and see it, and it was absolutely wonderful, as you can imagine. It was quite tremendous, and I left that performance greatly affected. But I also had lots of questions. I did. I had mixed emotions. I knew I would do. I know it very well. The reason why I know Handel's Messiah so well is that every word in it is from the Bible. Handel only put it together. Every word comes from the Bible. The conductor was inspirational. The musicians were brilliant. The voices were absolutely perfect. The soprano, breathtaking performance. It was incredible. But I was left asking myself this question. Did the people who sang all of this, did any of them believe the words? After all, the words came before Handel wrote the music, not the other way round. Handel put the music to the word of God. The precedence is the word of God and what he says. Handel's Messiah is about Jesus, about the prophecies that the young people spoke about, about his coming, about his being born, about his dying on the cross of Calvary, about him being raised from the dead, and about the future glory and the day of judgment. And here were all of these people, enraptured, singing about it. And I thought to myself, do you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to conduct a poll. I'd like to stand, and I'd like to meet all of the choir at the end of it. And I'd like to ask them, how many of you actually believe a word of what you were singing? How many of you believe in the resurrection? How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is going to come in judgment? How many of you believe that he's going to send people to heaven and to hell? You just sang it. You sang all of it. And do you know what? I don't know whether there were 500 or 1,000 people there. And the 500 or 1,000, just get the picture in your mind. They all joined themselves so very happily to it. And I asked myself then this final question. How many of them would join themselves happily to it if they heard the same words preached as I am doing now? How many would love it and have smiles upon their faces if they heard the very self-same words being preached upon them? Now this morning I just ask you, can you give an answer? Can you give the right answer? Can you give the answer yes or no for Jesus Christ? Let's just consider in the narrative quickly the three groups of people. Let's consider the shepherds. Let's think about the kings. And then let's think about Herod just for a moment and the people of Jerusalem. We know that the shepherds said yes with regard to Jesus, because the text says, let's go. Let's get up and let's go and let's find out if this is true. They were not sat on the fence. They said to themselves, yes, let's believe what we've been told. Yes, let's go, get up and let's go. And so many people have rejected the message of the gospel before they've ever given it a chance. Before they've ever been willing to say, let's go. Why don't you this morning be willing to say, let's get up off our backsides and let's go. Let's see if what we're being told about Jesus Christ is true. In this church, at Trinity Evangelical, we're not saying if, we're not saying maybe, we're not saying no, we're saying yes. Because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't I know it, that if I recommend you to a church this morning that ifs and buts, and says we believe a bit about the resurrection, we believe a little bit about Jesus dying, we don't accept this and we don't accept that, but we accept this, and by nature you're going to be much more comfortable with that kind of place. But I'm telling you that everything is yes in Christ, because the Apostle Paul says so. And if he says so, then it is true. They got up and they said, yes, let's go. Our friends who came to the front this morning, that is simply what they did. Someone bumped into them in the park and said, you know, I go to that Trinity Evangelical Church. Oh, where's that? That friend told them. And they turned off. They said, come on, let's give up. And so many people, like the shepherds, they go. They're willing to go. They overcome their fear and their trepidation. And don't you think I don't know how difficult it is for somebody to get up on Sunday morning and say, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to go amongst those people who I don't know. I realize that this is not an easy thing. And especially when there are so many people in our day who are unchurched, who don't know anything about the hymns, never ever read the Bible, don't know anything about the truth of the gospel. It is difficult. But I am begging you, I am urging you this morning, in the light of what the shepherds did, look at them and say, let's go. They left their livelihood for that moment. You might say, oh, they were irresponsible. Ah, but they were seeking after the Messiah, and he was the most important thing in the world. Do you know something that I noticed in the reading? You should have picked up on it. The word to them was like this: you will find. Not you might find, not maybe, but you will find. And what I would say to all of you is, just as the angel promised the shepherds that they would find, anybody who would seek after the Lord and determine with all of their heart, they will find. Because God has said in his word, if you shall seek after me with all of your heart, you will truly find me. And it is this question this morning. Will we be yes men? You know that expression which is so negatively viewed? Oh, they're just yes men. This morning I'm asking you, will you be a yes man? Will you be a yes woman? Would you be willing, in the beginning of 2015, would you be willing to say yes? I'll come and I'll inquire after the Messiah, after the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw a review on one of the BBC news programmes the other night. And they were looking back and looking forward, and one of the things that they were looking at was what the world might be like in 2015. Well, they can only guess. We can only guess. But one of the things that you could know right now is if you were a yes man, a yes woman, you could say, I'll give it a shot. I'll go and inquire. I'll find out. You could say it even now. You could say, I'll do it. I'll go for 6 weeks. I'll go to Trinity Evangelical Church. I'll hear the gospel preached. And I'll make my mind up then about this man who is called Jesus. But what about the Magi? They were yes men. The Bible says that they came from another country. It says that they came from the east. How far from the east do you think they came? How far are you willing to go? How much would you risk for Jesus Christ? These people were willing to risk everything because they believed that he was the King of glory and he was worthy of their worship. They were willing to risk everything. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that they came from east of Israel. Let's say it was from Saudi Arabia. Let's go even further. Let's say it's from India. Let's go further. Let's say it was further, it was China. Maybe it was Japan. How far did the kings come from to come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm saying to you that they left their homes, they left their occupation, they left their families. It was the valley of decision for them that day. We must find the Messiah. We must find Jesus. We have to know who he is. And it cost them everything. And yet, they gained everything in coming to him. And if you say to me this morning, oh well, it doesn't matter whether you're half-hearted, I'm saying to you that actually from the beginning of the Bible to the end, there's a distinction made between those who are really half-hearted and those who mean business. And the Magi, they meant business. I'll tell you why I know that they meant business. They gave of their substance. See, they brought their treasures. That's how much it meant to them to come and find the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought their treasures. They brought their gold and they brought their gold. They brought their gold. They brought their frankincense. They brought their myrrh to offer up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this tells me that their hearts were in it. If I'd have interviewed those who were in the Huddersfield Choral Society, I don't know how many, there must have been over 100. And I'd take a piece of paper with a pen. As they came down one by one, I'd have said to them, you know when you were singing about the last judgment, do you believe that, yes or no? You know when you were singing about Jesus Christ as God the Father, do you really believe that? When it says that he's risen from the dead, do you believe that? I'd have liked to ask them. Because actually, as they sang, with such enthusiasm and such gusto, and the smiles on their faces, you would have had to believe that every one of them believed what they were saying. I doubt very much whether there were very few of them who believed a word of what they were saying. Now, isn't that remarkable? The kings had their hearts in it. And Christianity that's worth something has to have the heart in it, because that's what God wants from us. And so this morning, let me just quickly tell you, the heart that is in the truth of the gospel is like this. Yes, Jesus is the only Saviour. Yes, he saves from sin. Yes, he pardons. Yes, he forgives. Yes, he gives a renewed and new life. That's why he came. Yes, he makes it so that I can be a man with all of my sins, not to die in them, but to go to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Yes, my transgressions can be forgiven me. Yes, 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 God in Jesus Christ can do all of this, and he does do. The shepherds said yes, the magi said yes, Joseph and Mary, they clearly said yes, although it cost them a great deal. But in the accounts that we read this morning, some of you said no. Are you a yes man, a yes woman, or are you really quite clearly this morning? Are you someone who says no? Have you weighed up all the facts? Do you really know the story properly before you said no? Well, I'll tell you what we know about Herod. We know that he said no because he was disturbed. That's probably at the heart of why most people reject the Saviour. He disturbs me. A bit of religion on the side, wonderful. I can live with that. You know, an occasional visit to church now and again, maybe a bit of something about God. But the man, Jesus, he really, really disturbs people. And I'll tell you what it was with Herod. Herod knew there'd be somebody else wearing a crown. He would be the one wearing the crown. Jesus would break into his little empire. And that's exactly true of every one of us. We are our own little kings, our own emperors. We rule in our lives. And Jesus comes and he says, I will be king of your life. I will call the shots in your life. And of course, we, like Herod, we feel threatened. And even as I preach in this little way this morning, there are some of you already, you're finding it difficult because the Lord Jesus Christ, he threatens, he comes along and he says, I must be the dominant force in your thinking. And he will be, and we are disturbed. And I don't mean to point the finger at any of you this morning, but let me just tell you something, where my hope is. My hope is not in the older people who are here this morning. Oh no. I'd love to think that I could say, yes, my hope is in the older people. You see, the truth is that our habits are so formed and our sin is so well developed that we are hardly likely to give it up when we are older. I'm speaking to you older people now. You're hardly likely to give it up. Herod had his own little empire, his own kingdom. It was so hard. He was disturbed. I thank God that by his grace he came to my heart when I was only 19. What would I be today apart from the grace of God in Jesus Christ? But I have very much hope that this morning there may be someone, maybe one of the young people, who might just say, I've been saying no up to now, but this morning I've been challenged in my belligerence. I've been challenged about my hardening heart. I've been flying in the face of reality. I'll now consider the gospel. The gospel isn't called good news for nothing, friends. But you've got to be prepared to hear it. You've got to be willing to come under the sound. Now, just to persuade you a little bit further, coming to the end, your sins won't go away by themselves. They're not going to go away. They just don't pack up and leave. I've got 40 years of being a Christian. I know all about them, every one of them. They don't pack up and go away. And God knows this, so he sent his dear son to be born of a virgin, the Son of God, into our world for my sake, to cleanse me from my sin so that I could be forgiven. And if I can tell you how precious it is, it's like this, that he would have come if it had even just been for you. And all of your life you've probably rejected the Saviour, you've never even thought about Him, never even wanted Him. But this morning you hear, perhaps for the first time, that I might be forgiven, that I might be pardoned, that His precious blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary might cleanse all of my sin. You'll take them with you to the grave, you know. All of our sins that are unanswered, we'll have to answer for them ourselves. All along, God was saying, don't you realize, I sent my son. You were there at Trinity Evangelical Church on that Christmas morning in 2014, and you didn't listen. I sent my son so that he would bear away all your sins, and that you might not be lost, but be saved. What's impressive about the shepherds, I always think, is that they didn't just believe what was told about the message of the Messiah. They went to find out, and then they went to broadcast the message. So I'll tell you now who a true Christian is. I'm prepared to stand here in front of all of you, and I'm prepared to say, I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. There's nothing good about me. There's everything good about Him, and I'm so glad that He came. How many of you can come up here and say, I'm a sinner? How many? How many of you can prepare to say that? And then I will come saved by the grace of God. See, probably at heart, many of you already think that you're half decent. Well, you don't need a savior. The shepherds did. The magi did. I do. And the truth is that every one of us needs a savior. Just listen, if you didn't listen to anything, listen to these words. These words, just to show you, I'm reading them straight to you from the Bible. These aren't my words. I'm going to read you these words so that you can take them away with you and you can remember them. This is the word of God now. I'm not speaking, I'm just reading you what the scripture says. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Sharon said, Duane said, as simple as the gospel, explained. It's beautiful. We're missing our candles and things this year. What's happening? Something's going wrong. We're usually have some kind of Christmas decoration, which I look forward to. We don't have any decorations here, because everything that we need is found in this book, in the Word of God. It's so wonderful. It proclaims the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's for you, and so I only ask this final question of you. Would you just say yes? Some of you will not know Handel's Messiah. Some of you will only know it from the famous Hallelujah chorus. But when it comes to a conclusion, Handel drew off the words from the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And these are his words. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Because he is. This is the one who was born in Bethlehem's stable. He's so worthy. And then his very last words is Amen, and it just resounds over and over again. Amen, 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 and over again. Amen, Amen. Why? Because that word Amen says yes, let it be so. How many of you this morning might say Amen to what Andrew preached? Yes, let it be so for me. It's near enough to Christmas Day now that I can wish you all, I don't do this before we get to this weekend, but I cannot wish you all a very, very happy Christmas. And trust that the Word of God has spoken to each and every one of your hearts. Stay in now, because we can do this, and may you very, very wonderful. God bless His Word to us. Amen.
Amen.